Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest's leading supplier for GAA clubs, at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll look forward to the All-Ireland Group Series as Donegal head to Cavan on Sunday. We'll be joined by former star midfielder John Gilday. Plus, there's more reaction to Tyrone's fantastic one as they took yet another All-Ireland Under-20 football title last night. We'll be hearing from a couple of stars of that performance, which gained them a third All-Ireland in 4 years at that age group. Well, we'll hear from new Institute boss, former Derry City and Finn Harps player and manager. Peter Hutton is now the man in charge. We'll get his thoughts ahead of next season and what his plans are. But it is with football that we start this evening's Score programme. And as always, kicking things off, we have our League of Ireland chat. And there's a full round of games in the SSE Electricity League Premier and First Division on Friday night. This is the last round of games before the mid-season break. In the First Division, Harps are chasing their first one in seven games as they travel to face Bray Wanderers tomorrow evening. Dan Gorman will actually be at that game for Highland Radio Sport. We will have updates as from the 7:45 kickoff. While among the Premier Division games, it's third against fourth as Derry City make the trip to face Bohemians at Dalymount Park. To look ahead to those and chat about other things, I'm delighted to say I'm now joined on the show this evening by former Finn Harps captain Gavin Cullen. Gavin, you're welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Not too bad, Ash, and yourself?
Not too bad. Thanks, Gavin. And I suppose before we look ahead to the weekend's action and touch on a couple of other local soccer stories, Cock Hill Celtic, we've been tipped to win everything at the start of the campaign once again. It didn't materialise that way, and it, having lost numerous finals and numerous big games towards the end of the season, it very much ended on a disappointing note for you guys. Have you had time maybe to sort of put your finger on what went wrong?
Look, there's nothing specific that went wrong. I suppose it's football at the end of the day. Yeah, you know, you win some, you lose some. We've probably never experienced an end of a season like we did this season in terms of disappointments. Normally, we've an upward curve at that point. So, fair dues to the teams that beat us and fully deserved. We've no excuses. We played the games. We missed a lot of opportunities in some of the games, lots of chances. Probably shaded the games, but look, at the end of the day, we didn't win them. Disappointing. We lost five games this year, and four of them were in the last month of the season, so that's when it counts. So very strange feeling for the group, very strange feeling for myself. We won the Tom Hand at the start of the season, and that was it. We had high expectations of the group and ourselves, and obviously we let ourselves down. No excuses, no reasons. Just wasn't to be, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's look at the action now. Before we look at the action coming up, just a couple of, I suppose, points soccer-wise. Luke O'Donnell, a man that you know well, was part of the Cock Hill Academy, went to Derry City, off to Wolves, and rightly so nominated for an International Player of the Year award this year at under-18 level.
Yeah, brilliant. You remember Luke, by all reports, he's doing well. He had a bit of an injury there recently, but for the Irish setup last year, he's had a great year. He's played a lot of games for them, and he's obviously well thought of. So it's brilliant. Again, more recognition for the football club to have an honor nomination at the FAA Awards this year. And it's onward and upwards for Luke, and I wish him all the best at the ceremony, and hopefully he wins the award, you know. Yeah.
Two other players as well involved in the international scene this week. A first call-up for Josh Cullen of Finn Harps, and Gavin McAteer, as we know, has been part of the Republic of Ireland team that qualified for the Under-17 World Cup. But Harps have two players now at international level at that age group for these friendlies coming up next month, which is massive. And listen, these young men are starting week in, week out for Harps, so they are. And now they're being rewarded with international caps.
Oh, absolutely. Look, for Finn Harps to have two, and then Oisin Cooney into the mix,
yeah,
as well.
At
his age level, been in the international setup and about the senior squad and playing games, which is huge. Like, you know, I suppose the test of time is how far these players want to go, and can Van Herps hold on to them, and or do they want to hold on to them, or want to move them on? You know, there's a lot of things, but obviously there's something going well there for them young lads, and to be in Irish squads is no mean feat at any level.
Certainly not, and they will of course be part of the Harps squad to take on Bray Wanderers tomorrow night, Friday. We go back to Harps 1 against Bray, where Harps took victory by 5-0 on that occasion, Gavin. And that was sort of the catalyst for Bray to go on a run and move up the table and pick up results. And at that time as well, it was a huge lift for Harps. But it's going to be a different story, do you feel, with Harps away from home on Friday night and this one as we head towards the break?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that game that Harps won 5-0, you were hoping, and the Harps did get a bit of a bounce with it. I think it was Darren Murphy's last game, and then Kevin took over. They went on a bit of a decent run of results after that. The 5-0 against Bray was obviously a freak result in the game. I think Bray went down to 10 men in the first half, and possibly even end up with 9, but like it was a brilliant performance, probably the best of the season by Harps, but no, obviously, roles have reversed. Now Bray went in the run, and Harps are struggling a bit in recent weeks. So you would probably expect Bray at home to get the win. But again, in that first division, no, most of the games are tight and tough, as we've seen last week against UCD at Finn Park. Harps got an equaliser late on, possibly were in the ascendancy, and then UCD got a late penalty. They won it, you know. So there's fine margins again.
Is it a game, because it certainly would be a big boost to the squad, because they haven't had a win in a while, so they have it. If they can get 3 points on the road with the break coming up, and there's 2 weeks then before we resume the action again.
Oh yeah, look, going into the 2 weeks break, it's difficult than having a run of results and losing, so it would be a huge boost to them. Obviously then, like, players and fans have one eye in the league table, and obviously, like, if results didn't go their way this weekend, you could be looking under the break, sitting bottom of the league, which would be a tough pull for the group to take. So you would hope and like to think they'll go there and try and get a win. They obviously will, but again, it's a tougher task than it would have been around the season with the run form Bray have been in recently.
So that is one of 5 games being played in the first division. Kerry is up against Longford. Cove Ramblers play Treaty. Wexford against Dundalk, and UCD are hosting Athlone Town in the other fixtures. Let's go to the Premier Division. And listen, the way it is in the top flight, Gavin, there's just big games coming week in, week out. And Derry City, of course, will be looking for the bounce back from their game, having suffered defeat at the hands of Shamrock Rovers last time out. But they've another tough encounter. Certainly one of the form teams in the Premier Division this year are Bohemians, and it's a Dublin trip away to Dalymount Park for Tiernan and Lynch's side before they hit the break in the season.
Yeah, another big game. The Premier Division this year is really, really even. Very, very difficult to call results, and very, very difficult for teams to put a run of victories together. Obviously against Shamrock Rovers last week, it was a tough one to take, going 1-0 up and losing the game 2-1. I think that's created maybe a 7-8 point gap to Shamrock Rovers, which, look, we all know Shamrock Rovers can go on these run of form and be very, very difficult to stop. So Derry won't want to be losing much more ground at Shamrock Rovers at this stage of the season to go under the summer break. Also the likes of St Pat's, Derry, all teams that were tipped there on the season, they've lost 5-6 games, you know, so far. Like, there's nobody really showing a real run of form because of the levels in the Premier League and how even the clubs are. So every week, every single week's a big game and a big test for everybody.
Yeah, big game. Can Sligo Rovers head into the break with a victory? They're taking on St Patrick's Athletic at the Showgrounds. Sligo bottom off the table, of course, sharing bottom spot actually with Cork, who plays Shelburne. But if Sligo could get out of that position, get into the break, that would be a very much welcome boost for the bit of red. So, is it achievable against a Pat side under Stephen Kenny, who probably haven't been firing on the full cylinders that we expected them to?
Oh, it is. Of course it is. I think Sligo on their day can beat anybody in the Premier League. They're obviously, at the minute, themselves and Cork are looking like they're getting cut adrift a bit, and it could be a straight shootout for a playoff position between the two, or going straight down. So any points at this stage or any stage of the season for Sligo are massively important. I suppose it's well documented that St. Pat's and Stephen Kenny's getting a wee bit of stick in the last week or two about results. There was a very high expectations on St. Pat's this season, and as I said, they've lost six games so far this season, so it's probably too much for them, and they could leave themselves too much to do in the second half of the season to catch the likes of Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah. So the other games are Waterford against Drogheda United, Cork City play Shells, as we mentioned, and the leaders, Shamrock Rovers, are taking on Galway United at the Tallaght Stadium. So there you go, that's it, Gavin. Many thanks for joining us tonight in the Score programme, and we'll catch up again real soon.
That's great, Ashton. Thank you.
Always good to speak to Gavin, and we're going to shift things on from the SSE or Trusty League to the Irish League. And former Derry City and Finn Harps manager Peter Hutton is back in management, having recently taken over the reins at Championship side Institute. Hutton replaces Kevin Deary after Stute finished seventh in the season recently completed. After a spell away from senior football, Hutton is back, and this week he caught up with Highland Radio's Chris Ashmore.
Before we look at what lies ahead, maybe you can just bring us up to speed as to what Peter Hutton's been doing the last 4 or 5 years on the soccer-related front.
Yeah, well, most recently I was sort of the head coach at Derry's under-15s in the academy sort of set up. When I left Derry, I sort of fell away from the game for a few years, and then I got the enjoyment back by being involved in my son's young team, Oxford United Stars, here in Derry, and then that transpired. I was invited in and by Hugh Harkin and the Derry Academy, so been doing that for the last few years now. So just got me back and joined football again for once.
Did you think you would go back into managing a senior team at all?
I didn't. to be brutally honest, I didn't. No, I just think that sort of that sometimes the senior level is just a complete another lack of integrity, and just not my cup of tea as such, do you know what I mean? But I really, as I say, I've started really enjoying the game again with the academy and that, and just the enjoyment and the love and passion you have for football. So I had stepped away then from the Derry Academy at the start of the season, just seeing things going not the way I would like them. So I stepped away from it, and then I was asked then by a third party a couple of weeks ago with have a chat with Institute, because Kevin was moving on to go to Corian in a full-time capacity, so I said I'll have a chat with him. So transpired then, I met with Bill and Andy and that, and sort of some of the board members, and a good long conversation, and decided why not.
Free season is getting underway pretty soon. What sort of squad will you have at your disposal? Will there be many there from last season, or are you sort of starting from more or less from scratch?
We're probably a couple of weeks behind just due to the club being unsure whether Kevin was staying or going. It wasn't sort of confirmed until fairly recently. So that indecision has caused maybe one or two players to leave. Sort of things are a wee bit more settled now. Who's in place and how we are going forward type of thing. So the vast majority of players have stayed. Still need to bring in a few fresh faces, trying to improve the squad, but it'll be a young squad, but we will be competitive.
There's always been players in the Northwest that, you know, they've gone to Stute, they've been at Derry, they've been maybe at Harps, at Coleraine, so you have that sort of pool in the Northwest to choose from, but so many clubs, I suppose we can include Limavady, Strabane Athletic have aspirations going forward, so it's not going to be easy.
No, it's not. I mean, everybody wants good players. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. And good players can ask for that wee bit extra. Do you know what I mean? So it's difficult to try and attract them, but that's part of the business sort of we're in. Trying to get good players, because ultimately that's what sort of drives your team into success. But I know it's difficult sort of, obviously, when you don't have the finances of the clubs that you're sort of sitting in sort of and location with, you know what I mean? But that's part of the challenge, I suppose.
Are you looking at the first season? You know, how high do you set the bar? Is it a case of sort of consolidating and trying to build for maybe a longer term plan?
No, well, the longer term plan is obviously they try and play as high as we can, but in the new stadium as such, we're hoping in the next couple of years, with a funding approval, that the club will re-establish itself over in Cluny Park West with the new stadium. But on the pitch, the main sort of focus is trying to be competitive. If we can get to the Premiership, so well and so good. But the main aim is to stay competitive and remain competitive.
Important then to get the season off to a good start and get a little bit of early season momentum, I take it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's probably what hampered them last season. They didn't start the season too well, and it sort of, they took them a wee while to get going again. But then sometimes that's what's happened when you have such a change in personnel every season. Sort of, other clubs pick off your better players, and that you're almost starting from scratch again. And that can be very disheartening for a team. But the vast majority of the boys this year are hopefully all going to stay. So we hope they build on that now.
Yeah. And what about the Irish League Championship in general? Would you be familiar with most of the teams, Peter? Are there quite a few that maybe you haven't seen play before?
No, well, I wouldn't have seen many of them play as such. Do you know what I mean? But I know it's a very competitive, very physical league, very direct at times. So it is, it's a very, very competitive league. As I say, it's not for the faint-hearted. But again, some really good quality players in them as well, some really good sides.
Now, you touched on there the fact that there are exciting plans for a new stadium, and a club has aspirations like that, and there's something that a way forward has been mapped out. That can filter right down through the club to the playing personnel as well, can't it? And you know, if you all feel you're going very much in a positive direction.
Very much so. Again, that's what sort of, as I say, it gives the players themselves that sort of aspiration to of playing in a new stadium and stuff. So they want to play, as I say, at the highest level they can, and in good stadiums and good pitches and that. And the Institute players are no different. It would be great if, hopefully, in the short-term future, that the funding's granted, and then in the next couple of years, then the new stadium's able to be sort of delivered over in Cluny Park West. Mm. It's a fantastic stadium if it does, and I'm sure it's long overdue for Institute themselves, having left sort of Waterside a number of years ago.
In the meantime, you will continue to be playing at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium for your home games?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the home games will be at the Brandywell. Big pitch, everybody sort of has their opinions on 3G pitches as such, do you know what I mean? But it is what it is. It's a big pitch, and it lends itself to getting the ball down and playing football, which will suit ourselves. It's good. It's a good pitch to play on. I've certainly played in a lot worse, but it's one of those. A lot of the opposition teams they enjoy coming to the Brandywell too, because it's such a good pitch.
Yeah, and on that topic of artificial pitches, your opponents in the league, are there other clubs who have artificial pitches?
Yeah, the vast majority will probably be grass, but there is a number of teams all have installed now the 3G as well. And again, it's just sort of makes it a bit more cost-effective for a lot of teams now in terms of being able to train on it under the floodlights as well and play matches, and same with their young academy teams and stuff like that. Just it's able to take that wear and tear, whereas the grass just doesn't, especially over the sort of British season as such. When you're in for a long spell of the season, you're in the sort of depths of wind and rain.
Yeah, so it means you have to adjust the training a little bit, because obviously you need to be comfortable and playing on both surfaces. In terms of injuries associated with 3G pitches, would you have any particular stance on that? You know, are there more injuries from playing on artificial surfaces?
Well, I definitely think there is more specific sort of types of injuries associated with 3G in terms of sort of your joints and things like that. Certainly that doesn't help with the impact and the twisting and turning. There's very less give in the ground underneath your feet and such, do you know what I mean? But that's prevalent now. But even with a lot of the kids now growing up on 3G pitches, their bodies are starting to adapt to these type of surfaces and how they adjust and move. So it's becoming very commonplace now. Do you know what I mean? But for me personally, I'm a fan of the grass still. Do you know what I mean? But that's sort of probably just old school.
When you're assembling the squad, Peter, and looking to attract players in, your contacts in the game, is there a lot of behind-the-scenes talk between managers themselves and coaches?
Yeah, there is. You talk to a lot of coaches. You get there, even if there's players being released and things like that, you would maybe talk to their previous manager and what they're like as a character, that type of thing, because it's obviously evidently important to it. You're not just signing a football, you're signing a person to come into the dressing room too, and they have to be in the right character and the right sort of dynamic to come into your dressing room. So there's a lot of that type of thing goes on, and you talk to different managers about players and that type of thing, and that's just part and parcel of the game, I suppose.
Yes.
Especially this time of season.
Yeah, because in the League of Ireland, the transfer window will be opening up in the not-too-distant future, so, you know, maybe Harps and Derry, there could be a bit of movement there, and some players may be going to institute, some going the other way. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's sort of every team's open to signing good players. You know, that doesn't change. You're always constantly trying to improve your squad. Do you know what I mean? And that again won't change. So if you see a player that you think might add something to your team that maybe you don't have, then you try and pursue it. But again, you can be sort of limited with the finances at your disposal. But again, that's sometimes you just have to try and play smart.
And away from the first team at Stute, Peter, what's the setup in the club? Are there quite a few underage teams?
We have a strong academy. We've always had. There's a lot of good players have progressed through the academy, and they will hopefully continue to do so. They have lost the head of the academy. Murray Smith has gone to take over at Moyola. So Paul Bratton, who people will know has been with the Institute over the last number of years, he is coming now as the new head of the academy. So again, keeps that bit of continuity as well, so which is good. But there is a lot of good players sort of coming through the Stute. They sort of, some players even dovetail between being at the Derry Academy, the Stute Academy, and vice versa. So there's a lot of good players still in the city. So it's important just that they're being coached in the right environment, and given that environment to sort of flourish.
And you've been in the game for quite a while. Do you feel in the Northwest at the moment, is the talent coming through, is it pretty encouraging from what you've seen?
Well, there is, yeah, definitely. But the problem at the moment is obviously the two bigger clubs in terms of like sort of, for instance, say Coleraine and Derry City, who are awash with sort of money at the moment. Their focus is probably on trying to achieve league winning teams as such. So the younger players mightn't get as much opportunities at the moment. Do you know what I mean? But if there is players that are good enough, doesn't matter what age they are. Do you mean a manager will play them? But 9 times out of 10, if they're challenging for a league title, then they're sort of more reliant upon experienced players.
And who would you?
You can see even young with Kevin, with the young Harps team now at the moment, like he deserves a lot of credit. He's playing young players, and they will need time. And when you're playing a lot of young players, it lends itself in. Sometimes you get a bit of inconsistency, but that's where they have to be given that experience.
As you look at the teams in the Irish League Championship, who do you feel will be the ones up challenging at the top of the table come the end of the next season?
Well, again, sort of, I think there's one or two teams that sort of even not too far away from ourselves. Almavady were up there challenging for a while. Harden Wolf Wendlers, again, teams that have come down last year as well, sort of. So again, it's going to be a very, very tight league. Do you know what I mean? It always is. There's sort of like, there's usually five or six teams up there challenging, and it's a marathon, not a sprint, as they say. But again, it's sort of who can sort of maintain that level of consistency over the season.
And finally, Peter, there's a feeling generally that the Airtricity League, the League of Ireland, is very much on an upward curve at the moment. The crowds have been very good. There's been well, fierce competition. Not a lot to choose from between the top sides in the Irish League. Do you see a parallel there? Do you think things are on an upward trajectory again?
They are at the moment. A lot of the clubs have sort of are taking in the gamble and going full time, which has helped improve the standard of play in most teams. And as like the League of Ireland, those who aren't able to compete with the finances for full time are sort of starting to be left a wee bit behind. But even now, Corain have sort of moved to full time setups, like the Crusaders, Glentoran, and Linfield, and etc. So that's why it was so good to see Dungannon coming out and winning the cup this year. They've sort of went against the precedent, had a fantastic season too. I think they finished fourth. Rodney McGarry has done a fantastic job there. But it's always good. Everyone likes to see the underdog sometimes come out on top as well. But yeah, the league is certainly improving, and the amount of money getting spent on it is sort of still on the up.
So summing things up, the appetite is there. Peter, you're relishing the prospect of getting going and starting that first competitive game and watching on from the side.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it, Chris. Yep, it's obviously been a while from senior football, but as I was just sort of saying to the boys, like, the game itself doesn't really change that much. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes coaches try and overcomplicate things. Do you know what I mean? The game itself is fairly simple. So it's I'm looking forward to it. It's a different challenge, but one I'm really looking forward to.
That's Peter Hutton back in charge, back in management. He's now the new man at Institute, speaking there to Highland's Chris Ashmore. And that brings an end to the first part of the Score programme tonight. We're going to go for a break. We'll have GA on the way after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoe for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
So welcome back to the Score programme. Time to focus in on Gaelic games and, of course, our feature match on Sunday afternoon comes from Breffni Park in Cavan, where Donegal are taking on Cavan in round two of the All-Ireland Series, and it's very much a case of must win for Donegal, having suffered defeat at the hands of Tyrone last time out. To preview the big game and talk about all the things, I'm joined by former Donegal star midfielder, John Gilday. John, how you doing?
I'm good, Oisín. Thanks for having me on.
John, you've had time now to decipher what took place last weekend, and I suppose, what have you come up with? What do you think happened last week from a Donegal point of view in that defeat to Tyrone?
Well, I suppose the powers that be will know a lot more than me, so I'm not going to try to reimagine what Jim's going through this week. But listen, it was just a bad day at the office. I think, you know, Tyrone at any time coming in to play us or us going there is always going to be a banana skin. It's always going to be a dangerous game. And, you know, people kind of forgot about Tyrone after Armagh beat them, but ultimately Tyrone probably should have beat Armagh, and we should have been playing Tyrone in an Ulster final if all things would have been equal. So very good side. And again, they just proved that last night again, where they won another under 21 championship, All-Ireland. So they have, they always have players coming through, and they're a very gifted side. And then marry that to the fact that we were just a little bit off. You know, the fact that, you know, we had to replace our keeper at the last minute had an impact, because it probably shortened the whole field by 25, 30 metres, because Patton's kick out going over the top was voided to a certain extent, because, and it meant Tyrone could push us a little bit more onto us in the half back line, full back line. And then our kicking was a little bit off. We gave away two sloppy, unlike Donegal type goals. And then ultimately at the very end of it all, we were in a position where we could have won the game. So all those things been equal, you know, everybody saw what happened. I think what really has happened is that we've had a bout of injuries over the last couple of weeks. I think the wear and the tear of the Ulster Championship has started, not so much caught up with us physically in the sense that the team is fit enough and everything else. But I think when you look at, you know, the likes of Niall O'Donnell, Jamie Brennan, Big McGee, who had been very important players to bring on, particularly McGee around the middle of the park when we were really struggling, weren't available for selection for one reason or another, you know, injury related. And then big Caelan McGonagall came off. Paddy McBrady didn't start. Mogan didn't start. All those things put together left us very vulnerable, and Tyrone exploited that. And then, as I said, ultimately, with 6 to 7 minutes to go, we were 2 points up for the first time, and we were in the driving seat, and we let it slip. So I would imagine the squad and Jim and support management would be very disappointed about the way they let it slip at the end.
Not much time for a bounce back. Just over 7 days later, you find yourself heading to Breffni Park. Do you expect a positive reaction to come now from Donegal this weekend, John?
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing you can't question about this squad is their integrity and the fact that they always put a shift in. And even when things weren't going right on Sunday, they were still putting a big shift, or Saturday evening, a big shift in. They'll do exactly the same thing on Sunday. Obviously, what they'll look to do is rectify their mistakes that they made, cut out those mistakes that led to the Tyrone goals, and maybe be a little bit more clinical in front of the posts. I think we kicked 11 or 12 wides. And to be fair, most of them weren't difficult, shots to take on. We just misfired in that regard. So you'd expect Donegal to rectify those. You would expect them to understand that this is ultimate championship right now. If we don't win this game, we're under serious pressure. So all things being equal, you'd expect Donegal to come out very positively and go after it. Now, again, injuries will have an effect on the team that Jim can put out on the field. And then the other side of the equation is they're going to Cavan, who are buoyant after an extremely impressive win against Mayo. And had a good performance for, I would say, 50 minutes against Tyrone in the early round of the Ulster Championship. So it's by no means a formality to waltz into Breffni Park and get a win out of it. It's going to be a hard-fought game against a very buoyant team that's going incredibly well right now.
And obviously, from a Donegal perspective, you mentioned a lot of players there that had knocks and have injuries, some key players like Jason McGee and Sean Patton. As this championship goes on, and if Donegal are going to continue in the championship down the line, the likes of these players will Donegal will need them available for it, John.
No, absolutely. And I think that's the one big criticism of the current championship format. It's very, very physically demanding on teams that look to go deep into the championship. And I think you need a huge degree of luck as well as skill and fitness to ensure that your top players remain fit throughout the championship. And if you look at the current, four divisions, if you look at where Kerry are, it's really kind of a waltz in the park for them to get through to the semi-finals or quarterfinals and semi-finals without expending too much energy. And then you flip that on its head and you look at the route that Armagh, Galway, Donegal, Tyrone have to go, where it's ultimately the Ulster Championship all over again after going through a very grueling championship. It seems a little bit unfair. And if Donegal are to continue in the championship and go on and ultimately claim the ultimate prize, which is All-Ireland, it will be a monumental feat, because the defeat against Tyrone has made it more difficult. It means we'll probably have to play an extra game even if we get through, which hopefully we will. So it makes it very difficult, and that then makes it very difficult to recover players, to get enough time on the training ground to prepare for the next game. So it's a daunting undertaking at the present point in time.
Is it too much to ask of a team to play 5 games in 6 weeks and still try to make an All-Ireland semi-final or a final? Because that's what Donegal may have to do here, because they'll have their 3 group games and then a prelim quarter-final. That is if Tyrone don't want any of their matches and Donegal don't top the group, and then have a quarter final. So if you're to make the last 4, Donegal here could be facing into a period of 5 games in 6 weeks. Like, how big an ask is that of a group, John?
It's a huge ask when you tie in the fact that they've already played 4 or 5 games at an intense level over the last 5 or 6 weeks. So it's not just the body of work ahead of them, but it's the body of work that they've had to undergo to get to where they are right now. It's incredibly draining, both physically and mentally. And I can imagine Jim is wrecking his head on this right now and how to get results and then try to manage the situation he's in as regards those injuries. It's very unfair on players. Ultimately, I don't think that you see the best teams at the latter end of it, because it is luck of the draw. I would suggest that, when these groups are finally decided, Armagh will carry injuries, Galway will be carrying injuries, Dublin will be carrying injuries, and Donegal and Tyrone will be carrying injuries, while on the other side of the equation, Kerry are going to be very much, have gone through the process without taking any cracks or chinks to their armour. So it's an incredibly difficult task, Oisín, and there's no doubt about that. Should Donegal go to an All-Ireland semi-final and final this year and ultimately succeed, it'll be an incredible feat for all the things that you just outlined there. It's an incredibly difficult task.
The other game in our group is, of course, Tyrone and Mayo. Two contrasting results in the first round. Mayo, of course, lost surprisingly to Cavan. Tyrone will be buoyed by that victory over Donegal. What sort of game are you expecting here? Because this can go either way, so it can. Obviously, the Mayo manager is not available due to illness, which happened last week, but he is expected to come back. But Stephen Rochford's there, so that team could get a bounce. They've had a longer, I suppose, layoff than Tyrone as well. What's your thoughts on this one going into the Hayley Park encounter, John?
Well, if you looked at it just on basic form right now, you would think that there's only going to be one winner, and that's going to be Tyrone and Omagh. Never an easy place to go, even if Tyrone are not going well. But this is a really good Tyrone side. Make no mistake about that. It wasn't like Donegal rolled over last week and allowed Tyrone to beat them. This is a quality side. And all form would suggest that Mayo will go to Omagh and get beat. I don't see anything other than that. I know there's always this unpredictability with Mayo, and you don't know what kind of Mayo are going to show up, or even in the same game, you don't know what kind of Mayo are going to show up. But Cavan really showed their frailties. 50 minutes into the second half down in Mayo on their home ground, Cavan were a point up after going in 3 or 4 points down at halftime, and they just failed to push on through. I think there's a real lack of quality in this Mayo side compared to the older sides that are there. Some of their main players are getting older. This Tyrone side right now, after that Donegal result, is going to be bouncing. The other thing is, I know it's two games on the bounce for Tyrone, but they've also had 4 weeks to prepare. So they've been in the background when Donegal were going to an Ulster final and Mayo were going to a Connacht final. So they've had a good degree of rest and preparation for these two games. So I would suggest that on current form, and given where the state of play in both counties, because there's a lot of unrest in Mayo at the present point in time, both from a board perspective and a playing perspective, it looks like Tyrone should win this and probably won it by 4 or 5 points at least.
Okay, listen, John, many thanks for joining us tonight. We wait to see how these games pan out. Enjoy the football at the weekend, okay?
Will do. My pleasure. Thanks very much, Oisin.
So, just to remind you again, we will, of course, have full live match commentary from Cavan, with Donegal being the opposition. Round 2 of the All-Ireland Championship will be live from 1:40 this coming Sunday afternoon. Throne, of course, is at 2 o'clock. Elsewhere on Sunday, Derry are playing Galway at 2, Dublin take on Armagh at 4, and at the same time, Monaghan are playing Clare in the All-Ireland Series. And just to confirm those games on Saturday, Tyrone are playing Mayo. That's Donegal's group, 7 o'clock at Hayley Park and Omagh on Saturday, with the likes of Roscommon up against Meath, Cork play Kerry, and Down against Louth also on Saturday afternoon / evening. And there is, of course, our dedicated GA programme and podcast, the DL Debate, which is available now in the sports section of our website and the playback section of our website, HeinenRadio.com. Brendan Devetti, of course, man in the ship each and every week on a Monday to talk all things Gaelic games, and in particular, the All-Ireland Championship. There's also All-Ireland Tier 2 minor football action for Donegal this coming Saturday. It's at the semi-final stage. The opposition for Donegal is Meath. It's at the Athletic Grounds in Armagh, and it throws in at 2 o'clock. Donegal, of course, looking to make an All-Ireland final in Tier 2 in the minor category. The other semi-final in that tier is Armagh against Kildare. That is also on Saturday afternoon. The Derry Hurlers have a big game this weekend. They're taking on London in the Christy Ring Cup final. Derry are aiming for their first taste of glory in this competition. The Oakleigh County have been beaten in 3 of the last 4 finals, going down to Offaly in 2021, Meath in 2023, and 5-time winners Kildare in 2024. If you want to nip over to our website, HeinenRadio.com, there is an interview there with the Donegal hurling manager, Johnny McGarvey, who spoke to Michael McMullen this week ahead of their game at Croke Park on Saturday, which starts at 5 o'clock. That's actually the third of 3 hurling finals to be played there on Saturday. Back to the football, and taking centre stage club-wise this weekend, it's the All-Ireland Gaeltacht finals, which are at Rathcarnan in County Meath. And there's 5 Donegal teams involved. Termin in the senior men, St. Noel's in the junior men, Dunlow in the senior ladies, Neve Columba in the junior ladies, and Fanad Gaels in the intermediate ladies. The action starts on Saturday with St. Noel's up against Les Paul of Kerry in the junior men quarter final at 11 a.m. 15 minutes later, Neve Columba of Donegal play Grania Moles of Galway in the junior women. At 1:15, Fanad Gaels in the intermediate women's semi-final playing Berna of Galway. And then at 3:45 in the senior men quarter-final, Termon will start their campaign against An Gaeltacht of Kerry. Now, if there is wins for Donegal sides on Saturday, they'll progress through to semi-finals on Sunday. And the finals are being held on Bank Holiday Monday. Already through to a final is the Dunloe ladies, who play Clare Galway of Galway at 12 noon on Bank Holiday Monday in the senior finals. So hopefully there will be lots of action for Donegal teams this weekend in the Comórtas Peil na Gaeltachta, which has been held in County Meath. It is, of course, the All-Ireland finals. Now, back to last night. Tyrone were crowned All-Ireland Under-20 football champions for the second year running. The O'Neill County defeated Louth in the decider, 5-16 to 17 points in Armagh. Noah Grimes and Owen McElhome stepped up with a combined 4 goals and 10 points from play. Paul Devlin's men become the first Tyrone side to win back-to-back titles at this grade in 24 years. And it was a third title in 4 years for the county, and indeed for Devlin as manager. We'll hear from captain Joey Clark and star forward Noah Grimes shortly. But first of all, off the ball's Jonathan Higgins has been speaking with the manager, Paul Devlin.
Oh, proud. I don't know what word you can use. Just delighted for them, that what they put in. And you know, if you work hard enough and you try your best and you work with everybody, there's a good chance you'll get something out of it, you know what I mean? And these lads have been lucky enough for the last 2 or 3 years that a lot of success has came their way, you know. And the big thing I'll take from our group is they're all level-headed lads. There's no egos. There's no fella thinks he's above anybody else. And that's the key to a lot of it too, you know, if everybody's grounded. And don't get me wrong, there's times you have to wind a few ones back. Not just the players, but the whole thing all around, you know what I mean, that realise, look, we're here at a certain level, boys, and let's take his course, you know. But when you hear that noise, a bit of cheering going on there, it's a massive feeling for them. They're really enjoying it, you know. I say, I couldn't be more prouder to be a Lough Shore man and a Tyrone man here tonight, so it couldn't be I.
Yeah, wonderful celebrations going behind it, but how on earth to keep them so grounded, to go back for back? You know, when you're at the top, it's so easy to be the prey for everyone else. To keep them grounded and to turn in a performance like that in the All-Ireland final.
Well, look, you know, times you have to look at yourself here, and a lot of coaches who've worked with you through the years, you know, the Chris Browns, the Danny Ball, the you know, the Art McCrory's, the Desi Ryans, and them people soon ground you. And you know, I come from a very hard working fishing background, Lough Neagh, and you know, you're grounded there and come to, you know, working in life, and nothing was ever handed to me. So really, when the last year was gone, we started off with scratch again, and nothing, there's going to be no a golden spoon or a silver spoon hand till the lads are going to have to work for anything they have, you know. And you can see them there, the desire, the work, the block and the tackling all that night. And that was just myself, my own methods in life. And as I say, a lot of people are talking to me today, the All-Ireland final on the day, you'd work, yes, I will work here today. So things going on in life, and you let things sort themselves out. But look, it was a massive achievement, so it were, and all round players, managers and all that, you couldn't be more proud of them, so you couldn't aye.
You talked about the work rate, but that was mixed with some absolutely quality on both ends of the pitch, particularly up top.
Well, we had, because, you know, they had a serious set, young Lennon and the all-lad number 12, young 5 at the far side of the field. Them lads are serious sets, and we had to give a bit of attention, tell them, detail them. The two superb midfielders, and lads they got are going to catch ball. You know, we just having 6 foot five, 6 foot six players, but you know, as I say, the will tire as the game goes on, and then you know, anything was sort of planned out. It, thank God, it fell into place for us, and you know, days it doesn't work, days it does. So we're lucky enough today, everything fell into place with it. You know, aye.
Can you take a moment to reflect back to back? I think it's the third title in your reign. It's the convertible to talent in Tyrone is just mind-dropping at the moment, isn't it?
Well, look, I sat in the Danny Ball yesterday. He was involved in the 91-92 team. I played in the 90 team. And, you know, just Danny, words of advice, you know what I mean? And that's all great to have. You can look back and people have got, you know what I mean, talk about the past, the way they had it. And, you know, it's you can have talent there, so you can, but, you know, if you haven't got a hard work and desire and honesty, you know, you're in road to nowhere. And you see that with the lads tonight there, the desire to block ball, to tackle back. You know, you even seen Owen McElhone back in his defence there, defend that night. And that's we have that in abundance, so we have. And, you know, you can ask for more from the lads, but it's just having that bit between your teeth. When the chips is down, you know what I mean, can we come out that dirty ball? And as the game went on there, you seen Tyrone start to dominate the ball all over the field. The kick-outs, the break ball, everything. We were there first time. And a lot of credit goes to my coaches there with me, the work they put in. You know, Cahill McCarron, Conor O'Donnell, Jeremy McNulty, Leo Green doing a lot of the physio, the video work behind the scenes, Shane O'Neill, you know, the physio, You know, you have Dee Cox, you have Cahill Corrigan, boys all over. Dr. Dermot McNulty, Dermot McCahy himself. You have a great team. We're having a big management team. There's about 8 or 9 of us, and we all kick off each other well. You know, and I just the second year round, what I would say, I learned that is you must keep it tight. You must keep a tight unit. You must just be so tight with your unit because everybody's wants to hunt you down. They want to get a piece of you, so they do. They want to see what you're doing, and there's no magic wand. It's just be yourself, be honest, and work as hard as you can, you know. And if you have a bit of talent and you go a long way, big help as well.
Joey, to win on All-Ireland is special, but to do it 2 in a row and to captain it, you must be very happy with life at the moment.
Yeah, no, it's special stuff. It's an honour to go out and captain a team in a final, and never mind go on to win it, so... Look, I'm really proud of the lads. They put in some shift, and I'm glad I got over the line.
Rhetorical question, I suspect, but is there any sweeter, the one last year or the one to do back-to-back?
No, just the sweet. Obviously, captain's a bit of an extra touch, but look, they're both a joy to play with, both teams. So, look, I'm really pleased, and going back-to-back, it's a big feat, so we know that. So.
And to win it in such style, because Louth put it up to you, particularly in that second half. I think you had cleared one off the line, but then you opened up and showed all your quality there coming in the final third.
Aye, look, credit to Louth, they're a super team. They kept coming back at us, so maybe you got a goal, and they're straight down the pitch, kicked a two-pointer or so. So, look, we got a foothold maybe towards the last 10-15 minutes and really kicked on. Macker's goal, and we Shane McDermott come on, kick 1-1, and really helped, so that set us up.
I was joking you after the semi-final, how on earth do you try and tag some of those forwards in training? It must be severe. They were just like the two the last day, and then Noah pops up, and then Owen pops up. It's just relentless.
Yeah, them three up front, they're unreal. Noah was, I thought he was unplayable today. Like they couldn't get a hand on him. He's just, it was a 2-4 he scored or something. Like, that's unreal for an All-Ireland final, all from play too. Like credit to Owen and Rory as well. Like, that's some forward line we have, so they make it easy for you.
It must be nice when you're watching back, seeing that going on the other end of the pitch.
Aye, well, you want to get up and join them, but
look, yeah, you went in a run at the end, didn't you?
You don't mind it, maybe. So look, they're unreal, but yeah, you love watching them, so you do. But maybe not so much in training.
Well, dare I say, you've a bit of celebrating to do. This is special for Tyrone football.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is the third time we went back to back now. So we know how hard it was. It really took some soul searching over the year, but I'm sure a few lads will definitely enjoy it tonight.
Noah, what an evening for yourself. You have a nice lump of crystal in your hand here as well, and you're All-Ireland champions. How on earth do you feel?
On top of the world. Thought last year couldn't get any better, but definitely think it's been top now.
Personal tally, it's always nice to win a final, no doubt, but to do it when you shoot the lights out, that must make it even more sweeter.
Yeah, glad I've played well, but I think anyone could have been standing with this trophy. I think nobody got man of the match twice this season for us, which just shows the depth we have. And it's, at the end of the day, we won. That's more important. The medal's better than a trophy.
But 2-6 in an All-Ireland final is some motoring, no matter what way you put it up.
Yeah, well, look, just glad they've kicked well.
We were chatting beforehand, you know, I thought your goal in Port Leash against Kerry was sweet, but like, suppose in an All-Ireland final, are they even sweeter?
Yeah, well, it feels better, but maybe not as good looking on the camera.
Look around, there's a lot of Tyrone. The Tyrone convertible to talent just keeps on going. What's in the water at the moment? How do you keep coming back and to go back-to-back champions? It's incredible.
I think that's the credit to the whole setup we have with management, with players coming from last year. Tyrone, just, we know how to win, I'd say, and we've had a good week in the county anyway.
That was Noah Grimes, Captain Joey Clark, and before that, Tyrone manager at under 20 level, Paul Devlin, on a super night for the Red Hand County, once again, yet again, being crowned All-Ireland champions. Cricket-wise, Northwest Senior Cup quarterfinals are being played on Saturday. Brady take on Brigade, Strabane play New Buildings, Eglinton are up against Coleraine, and Ardmore will meet Dunamana. While in the Samuel Jeffrey Shield quarterfinals, St Johnstone have a home tie against Fox Lodge, Bonds Glen play Ballyspallan, Glendermot are up against Burndennet, and Kelly Clooney will take on Sion Mills. Just finally, in motorsport, the official launch of the Wilton Recycling Donegal International Rally will take place tomorrow evening, Friday, in Letterkenny, and the much anticipated entry list will also be released. The event will take place at the Letterkenny Public Services Centre on the Neil T. Blaney Road from 7 o'clock. So rally fans are invited to come along and meet some of the competing crews, hear directly from organisers and get up close with a selection of stunning rally cars on display as well. Now the entry is set to be bulked up with some major names from the world of rallying, along with the best of the Tarmac Championship contenders, including Callum Devine and Noel O'Sullivan, who are chasing 3 in a row international victories. That is all happening tomorrow from 7 o'clock in Letterkenny. But if you can't make the launch, the event will be streamed out on the Donegal International Rally Facebook page and indeed on Highland Radio's social media channels as well. So you'll not miss a thing. If you can't make the launch, you can tune in to those social channels of the International Rally and of course Highland Radio as well. And that brings an end to the Score programme for tonight. If you missed any of the show, there will of course be lots available on highlandradio.com very, very soon. For me, Oisin Kelly, what's left of your Thursday? Have a very good evening.